Hi, I'm Kate Boyle, and welcome to the Mind Movement Health podcast. Each week, I'll be bringing you health information from diet and lifestyle to movement and nutrition. My aim is to bring you bite-sized pieces of information that you can instigate into your everyday life to change your health. And welcome back to the Mind Movement Health podcast. I'm here today with one of my lovely clients, Shez, and she is jumping on this month of the podcast. We're sharing some Pilates journeys. So what I really want to highlight is that there's this limiting belief that you need to be either super fit or super skinny or already, you know, have really good body control to be able to do Pilates. And so I wanted to share with you that anybody can do Pilates, and everybody has really individual stories, their backgrounds, why they started, you know, how they found out about it. So we're sharing some of these stories over the coming months. So I've got Shez come in today, and she has very nicely said that she will share our story with us. So welcome to the show, Shez.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. Now, I want to just dive in to start and just sort of say, ask about how you first began your Pilates journey, maybe how you even first heard about Pilates.
I first heard about it through a friend at the gym. I was going to Casey Arc. I just started on a bit of a health journey. I'd been a newly qualified chef 4 years, and I've been working 60 to 70 hours a week and gotten to a very unhealthy state where my back hurt, my feet had given up, and I just couldn't keep up with daily life anymore. And my friend at the gym recommended Pilates because she could see how much my back was interfering with how I wanted to exercise at the gym and try and become healthier. But I got to a point where I couldn't reach my toes, and I went to the doctor and they were like, you need to go and have surgery for your bulged disc. And I was like, that's not an option for me. I'm not going to do that.
How old were you when this was?
20.
Okay, 20. Like, yeah. That is
2021. Yeah.
Super young. I mean, even just doing 60 to 70 hours a week, like, that's insane.
It was tough, but I loved it. It's just my body started to shut down because I didn't know how to use my body and how it would work and benefit me. And so my back had just become so sore. And so I took on my friend's advice and came into Kate's studio. So I could learn how to use my glutes and build up my core. And yeah, 8 years ago, I hobbled into Kate's studio, and she's been stuck with me ever since. And her knowledge and education, she gave me, helped me to never consider the back surgery again. And I'm in a really good place. I'm still working 50 hours a week and very easily. I mean, there's harder weeks, but I know how to fix my broken body now. And I'm still in the studio every single week and loving it. Couldn't be more grateful.
Yeah, well, I have to say, Shez is a really dedicated client, because when she can't make like her regular class, she's like, can I come in a different time the following week? So consistency is a really big thing, I think, when it comes to Pilates, and Shez has been really good at that. And I think that's one of the reasons she's seen so many benefits come through. And even we were just saying before we started recording that, you know, when we've had our lockdowns and stuff, she jumped online, she did some classes online, and even though they weren't her favorite, they still helped her to sort of stay connected to her body and moving. But I want to go back and just touch on hospitality a little bit, because is it normal within hospitality as a chef to have like that many hours? Is it kind of expected, or is it because you love your job so much so you want to put in extra work?
In the last 5 or 6 years, the industry has changed a lot. A lot of big chefs, as you would know, Neil Perry, George Colombaris, they all got sued by, you know, various parties in regards to underpaying chefs that were doing outrageous amounts of hours, because we were all just on salary, and it was like it was expected that we were to work Sundays and we were to work 5 hours overtime for nothing. And all of a sudden, there's all this education coming out where there's chefs that are doing 70 hours but only getting paid for 38, and then all of a sudden that's not okay anymore. So there is a lot of rules now in the industry, which is great. chefs have to get looked after a bit better. The wages have gotten better and the conditions have essentially gotten better. A lot of those big restaurant groups are only allowed to do 5 shifts now, whereas we were doing 6 or 7 shifts, a shift being like, you know, double. We could do 2 shifts in a day with no break because it was too busy. So it has gotten a lot better, and I've put myself in a position now where I'm a daytime chef and I do breakfast and lunch and I'm not doing the night times anymore, and that's made a massive difference. But still, 100%, there's places that those types of hours are just expected of you. And it's worldwide. It's not just here.
In Australia, yeah. Essentially.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just hearing that you have to work even a 50-hour week is a lot. Mm-hmm. But when you're standing for the majority of that time, it's a lot of stress on your body. Mm. So, you know, if you don't have great body awareness, if your core isn't very strong, if you're not even aware of maybe that you've got hypermobility and you've got sort of more movement in your joints, it's probably pretty safe to say that a lot of people in the hospitality industry end up with back pain, hip pain.
100%. A lot of my, like most of the people that I went to trade school with when I was 18 and started my apprenticeship are not chefs anymore because their bodies have just given up and they're just like, I hate this lifestyle. It's too tough. They say it's a young man's industry, something like similar to roof tiling, for example, where you need to be physically fit. And if you don't have time or don't prioritize things like maybe doing yoga or Pilates or building up some strength, then to get through a 14-hour workday is very difficult. And then get out of bed the next morning pain-free. Super difficult.
Yeah, and even highlighting that you were so young and already feeling a lot of those things.
Yeah, like, so bad.
It's crazy to think you were 21 and then you're already suffering from disc bulges and, you know, severe pain. So I'm super glad that you, you know, found your way to the studio and found Pilates earlier on. So what really makes you, what's made you stick with Pilates, I guess? What makes you sort of love Pilates?
I love learning anatomy. I know that that's not why a lot of people do Pilates, but I like learning the, how my body works and when it is sore, how to fix it myself in various different types of movements or release methods. And just being able to continue to be a chef. I'm 31 this year, still not that old, but
still young.
A lot of, you know, I guess I'm considered an experienced chef now, and they're hard to come by because it's difficult to stay in the industry for that long. So I guess I love Pilates because I'm able to have something outside of work that's my outlet that helps me move forward with my life and continue my career until I want to stop. But at 21, I was like, I love this industry, but how actually am I going to continue to be a chef for 10 years if I can't reach my toes or I can't bend over?
So. Yeah. And like you were sort of saying with roof tiling, I think there's a lot of people in different types of industries that you do, like even say, like if I know massage therapists get burnout really early because it's so hard on their 100%. Hands or, you know, I was, you know, my plan was to become a dancer and the life of a dancer is really short because it's so hard on the body. And I made my way to Pilates because I was injured through dance. So I think a lot of people can relate back to that depending on what their profession is. When you were sort of starting Pilates, was there anything that you sort of found that was hard? Like,
literally everything. It wasn't hard coming. Just moving was really difficult. It's simple things like tying up my shoelaces because it sounds ridiculous, but my mobility was awful. I remember in summer I had sandals that had buckles on them and I literally struggled to do those up. And I was like, how is this even possible? So it was a massive wake-up call. And then as I started to become more consistent and go every single week and made it part of my life, and it has been for 8 years now, there's nothing that's a struggle. And when it is, I know what to do to sort myself out. And that's just book some more Pilates sessions.
Yeah. But I think, like you were saying before, it's really empowering once you learn more about your body, and even when you start to feel pain, say in your lower back, you know, okay, I need to get my massage ball out or I need to do some glute stretches. Having that knowledge now, I think is really empowering and stops you from getting to that point where the pain is debilitating, because you can get 100%. Onto it earlier.
Yeah.
And then having people that you can, you know, check out with, whether it's your Pilates instructor or your massage therapist or your myo, having that network of people I think really helps too. So, you know, there is so much we can do ourselves, but building up that network I think is really important, and you've done a really great job with that, because I know that you see a Maya regularly and that as well. So
yes,
amazing. Now, is there anything that you've sort of learnt about yourself from doing Pilates? Is there anything that sort of stands out that you were like, oh, I didn't realize that that I, you know, I am as strong as I am? Or is there anything that kind of stands out that you've learned about yourself?
You mentioned it earlier. At the very start of Pilates, I learned that my joints are hypermobile, and I was like, I don't even know what that means. And so it's where my joints move a lot, and so if I don't have the muscles to hold them into place, then I get things like tendinopathy, and I do injuries, which I'm not going to lie, I still have moments where even times in my life where I have struggled with tendinopathy. I'm battling Achilles tendinopathy at the moment, and it's really hard. So it's crucial for me to like have strong stabilizing muscles. And I think that's one of the most important things that I learned from doing Pilates, because that knowledge will now stay with me for my entire life. And if I make it to 80, great. And I'll know that
80, you're supposed to say 100, 110.
I know that my body, like my joints are hypermobile, and I need to have strong muscles literally for the rest of my life. If I don't, then it's going to be incredibly stiff and sore, and I'm going to have really loose, bad tendons.
Well, I know hypermobility is quite common. Like, you know, a lot of people, I've got hypermobility. It is a genetic thing. So generally you will inherit it. I've passed it. I could already see it in my girls. Yeah. And Charlotte, my 5-year-old, has definitely got more hypermobility. So I already know I'm going to have to just, I guess, inform her and build her awareness around that from an earlier stage, because the more awareness you have, the less injuries you get. And you also touched on the fact that you still have things come up, like
all the time.
Everybody does. But I think, again, you know, you've got things that you can come back to, so you know you can come back to your Pilates, and it's not going to get as severe potentially as it could have if you weren't doing all those things.
I know not to ignore it, and that what I have to do now to rehab it and to sort it all out, as opposed to getting it to a point where it's super chronic and then having a surgeon tell me that I need surgery, because that's not how I think things should be done. I have been able to fix myself in so many different ways without surgery, like naturally, and strength and mobility, and getting to the gym and being super active.
Hi everyone, I'm interrupting this podcast episode to let you know that the doors to the Mind Movement Health membership are open. Now, this month is all about pelvic floor awareness. Our masterclass is with a pelvic floor physiotherapist, where we'll be diving in and answering all your questions about pelvic floor. We'll be chatting about the best exercises for your pelvic floor, the different issues you can have with your pelvic floor, how to strengthen your pelvic floor, and so much more. Now, within the membership, you have also have access to so many Pilates workouts, there's healthy recipes, there's bonuses, and so much more. So to sign up, head on over to this podcast show notes. Otherwise, head over to the Mind Movement Health website and join there. I can't wait to see you inside the membership. Yeah, and I think it's that key of preventative. So do you know what I mean? You get into, you know, you do your Pilates and you're getting on into things earlier, so you're preventing having to need surgery or be on long-term pain medication or sort of things like that. So that sort of preventative health that we're always kind of talking about here at Mind Movement Health is one of the big things that I'm about, and one of the main things why I love Pilates, because, you know, people will come in or they'll join the membership and they'll join because they've got just some niggles maybe in lower back pain or hip pain, and we can get on top of that really early so it doesn't progress. So it's another one of the reasons that I really love Pilates anyway. So within kind of your everyday life, because I am a big advocate, I always kind of say to all my clients that what you're learning in the studio, I want you to be able to take out into your everyday life. What are kind of some of the principles of Pilates that you are applying in your everyday life?
Just massive body awareness. So even when I'm standing at my chopping board at work for 3 hours straight if I'm not cooking for service. I need to unlock my hypermobile knees and activate my glutes and my core. And now I've been doing that for so long that it just comes naturally, and I've been able to just strengthen my glutes whilst being at work and to not shift my weight onto one side because I've got a weaker sort and sorer knee than the other. I just need to, I'm always aware of what my body's doing, even when I'm at work and especially at the gym as well. I do a lot of weightlifting and just having body awareness and knowing what muscles need to be working and my balance from either side of my body as well is super important, making sure both glutes are firing and both hamstrings are firing in the correct order. And yeah, that's
majority of yeah.
Yeah.
And I think body awareness is a really big piece. And I was just actually speaking to a client yesterday about the body awareness because it's the first step. So if you can, you know, clue in and be aware of what's not sitting correctly or that if you are shifting your weight, you then have the power to make the change. If you don't have that body awareness, then you can't change it. So it is a huge thing that comes through from Pilates. And I love when people say this stuff because I'm like, oh, it's all the things that I want you to take away from class and use. So 100%. That
it's taught
great.
Me so much.
Now, if you had to tell someone that hadn't done any Pilates before and maybe they were thinking they could do Pilates but they're not sure, is there anything that you'd sort of say to them that you know, if they were thinking about trying Pilates?
I literally tell people they need to do Pilates all the time. I'm like, I need a sponsorship, I think.
Yeah.
It makes daily life easier, and I just think everyone needs that in their life.
Yeah, a few people always say to me, why don't they teach this in schools?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
literally.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, it would be amazing, but, you know, I know the education system is already overloaded with everything that they have to try to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, I guess, some of the movement patterns that we see changing that, you know, I see walking the door, it's usually as we get older and we're having to stand for work all day or we're sitting for work all day, and it's those changes in the movement patterns as we get older. Mm-hmm. Generally kids are pretty sort of active and fit and they move all the time, so they don't tend to get that pain.
Yes.
It's as we do these repetitive movements that it starts to come in. But I know I often go into one of the high schools in the local area, and they have 2 days each year. They call them wellness days.
Oh, cool.
And they have Pilates instructor, meditation, yoga. So they just are already trying to sort of teach that to younger kids, which I think is a great thing too.
I think that Pilates is becoming a much more popular sort of way of, you know, exercise and things. Like, look at footy players now. 10 years ago, all they did at training was static stretching and sprints. And now you see footy clubs doing Pilates and doing things like rehab and learning about activating and mobility. Like, I've got a lot of mates now who are 35 that bodies are just destroyed because when they were younger, they played footy and they were like, they'd never heard of Pilates or doing yoga. Like, that's ridiculous. I'm a football player. But there's so much more awareness now, and like sports clubs and younger people are sort of implementing the importance of these things instead of just sprinting up and down a footy oval.
Yeah, and I know majority, like if you guys are in Australia listening, you know, all the AFL clubs do Pilates. Even a lot of the VFL clubs do Pilates, and, you know, Cricket Australia and that, a lot of the famous tennis players, they do it. They don't often advertise that they're doing it. Sometimes you'll see it. David Beckham is a big one. You'll often see clips of him on socials and stuff with him doing Pilates, which is great. Everyone that's like working in the Pilates industry, there is this kind of stigma that Pilates is only for females and it's not for guys. And I was just speaking to one of my clients yesterday who was a male, and he was sort of saying to me, we've just had a few weeks off because we were locked down again, and he was saying, oh, I was, you know, saying to the ladies at work that I was going back to Pilates tomorrow and how, you know, I'm converted now. And he said, but some of my mates still, you know, rib me about that I do Pilates.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sort of saying to him, yeah, but so many people do it now. It is becoming more mainstream, and I think that's only a great thing. It's just building that awareness, I guess, still of everybody can do
Pilates.
Well,
look, it does. My partner, he he's just started Pilates a few months ago. From me just nagging him, he had a couple of injuries coming up. I'm like, honey, you need to get into Pilates. Like, come on. There's a space on my Thursday night. Like, let's go together. And he absolutely loves it. He's seeing so many improvements. He is a bit of an athlete, but his glutes...
A big athlete, not a little bit of an athlete.
Seeing him more aware of his glutes and his weaknesses, now he's so focused on sorting them out. And he is not ashamed to tell any of his mates doing Pilates. He's actually got his brother in the Sunshine Coast doing Pilates now.
Not even joking.
Yeah, because he got a sore. He's a plumber as well. And he got a sore back to the point where he was struggling to move. And Chaz is like, man, you need to find a Pilates instructor up there. And he has. So how good's that?
That's good. That's it. The power of the positive words spreading it out there.
Chaz will tell everyone about how excited he is to come to Pilates.
That's good. Now, do you have a favorite Pilates exercise?
I think my favorite is probably short spine, because it's not something that I can do outside of the studio. And it just makes me, just like doing something in here that I know that I can't do anywhere else. Yeah. Or if I can, I don't know how.
So if listeners don't know, short spine is when you're on the reformer and you've got your feet in the straps, and with your legs extended, you actually peel your spine up to the ceiling. So your toes are reaching to the ceiling. So you look like what we call either a jackknife or a straight line up to the ceiling. And then you get to roll down through your spine. And with the support of the straps, you get to traction out through your lower back. So you're getting that nice support as you roll down and that stretch through your back. So it is, I think it's one of my favorites. Like, it just feels so nice when you do it on the reformer. You can do a version of it when you're on the floor. You have to kind of pop your hands behind your lower back and bring the legs up.
Okay,
but then you have to work so much harder to control back down. So it's more of a strengthening exercise, rather than the one on the reformer is a combination of strength and release.
Yeah, because you've got the support of the springs.
Exactly. Yep. So that's where, you know, if you're sort of thinking about doing Pilates and you're not sure what the equipment does, the equipment can provide extra support. It can also make your exercises harder. And if you have any sort of issues going down onto the floor and getting into positions, we can change that around on the reformer. So it gives you a lot more different options. So there's pros and cons to doing both, and it is a very individual choice. Doing it at home, you can obviously do it anytime. You don't need equipment. You know, going into classes is obviously more expensive and stuff too. But yeah, you do get some sort of different feels from using the equipment, which is always really nice. Definitely. Now, I have to ask too, everybody always has an exercise that they love to hate. So what's the one? Mm. You have to share it with me. Which one do you not like doing?
That's hard. I hate balance work on the
Bozu.
Bozu ball, like squats, when my feet are jiggling everywhere because I'm not very good at it.
But then it's a really good one for you to do because it's a good one to improve on.
It strengthens my ankles, definitely. And I have seen an improvement in doing it. I just... I'm not very good at it.
That's it. We always kind of want to resist. I just put a post out on socials this morning because we've just reopened, and I, you know, was like, you know, welcoming, you know, so glad to have everybody back and in the studio. And I said, we will ease you back into classes, but we will also start to give you your challenges back straight away, because we wouldn't be good Pilates instructors otherwise. Yeah. Like,
hit me with it.
One of the things is that I love about Pilates is we kind of do highlight the weaknesses in the body, but we do so that we can strengthen it. So otherwise there's no point kind of doing easy exercises all the time.
Definitely pick out the flaws.
In a good way. And I guess too, we really try to do it in a supportive way. So even, you know, like we're talking about Chez's hypermobility, we never say that it's not a bad thing. It's just that you're different to somebody else and that it can be a weakness, but we want to flip that and really give you the tools to make sure that you can prevent any injuries from that and really turn it into something empowering. So I think that's the other thing about Pilates. Yes, we highlight weaknesses, but it's always in that sort of positive direction of trying to make the change so that you feel stronger or more flexible or more confident in your body or whatever it may be. So that's a big part of what
comes back to that body awareness
and
just learning how to get through your own daily life with whatever, you know, weaknesses you might have or whatever sore bits you have, then you've got the knowledge of it and you've learnt it, you know, here in the studio and
Well, that's it. And I know, like, it doesn't matter how old you are, that everybody's always got something that's, definitely. You know, you wake up with a sore neck or, you know, you did a lot of gardening and so then your back's sore. So I think it's just having that toolkit of knowing, you know, about your body and what to do can make a huge difference. So
yes,
thank you so much for sharing your story, Shez. Okay. It's been great having you on the show. And I, you know, I always geek out about talking about Pilates, but it's also really nice to hear from my clients and that how they've benefit, because I will often see different things to what you might feel. And a lot of people that I teach, they're like, oh, I still can't do squats on the Bozu. And I say, yes, but you know, a few months ago, we were just doing them on the floor with no balance challenge. So you've actually improved to get to that next step. So it's kind of just highlighting how far you've come. And sometimes looking back, like you said, you know, when you started 8 years ago, you could barely move, you had disc bulges, you know, you felt really stuck. Mm-hmm. It's been a journey, but kind of look where you are now.
Yes, so. 100%. I like deadlift 100 kilos now quite easily without fear that I'm going to hurt myself, and I 100% have Kate to thank for that.
Oh, well, thank you. But thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your journey, because I know it is going to help other people that maybe even be thinking about starting Pilates, or maybe thinking Pilates just isn't for them and they can't do it. So thanks for coming on.
It is
on and
literally
sharing.
For everybody.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Shez, and I'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Bye. Thanks for listening into the podcast. Please hit subscribe to be updated for each time we release a new podcast.